When I began preparing for the series in Hebrews, I thought, well, we will take about 2 messages per chapter. We're on chapter 1. This is the 4th part of Hebrews chapter 1, and there will be at least one more part, the Hebrews chapter 1. Hopefully you're not in a hurry to get through Hebrews. There's a lot of stuff in Hebrews. And so, if you would, stand with me and let's read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 together. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. Rick, would you pray for me as I begin today, please? Amen. You may be seated. It's a very interesting passage of Scripture in that we see God the Father telling us, or telling His Son, that He is God. Did you know that Jesus was God? As a matter of fact, God the Father says that Jesus is God. That it says, but of the Son, he says, talking about God the Father, of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So Jesus is God, and that's a little confusing for us. It is for me anyway. Maybe it's not so much for you. But it's confusing to me somewhat because we see in our area of life that a father has a son and the son can't be the father. Okay? But in when we're looking at the Trinity and when we're looking at Jesus, when we're looking at God the Father, it's as if God transfers, and we talked about Jesus having the inheritance last week. It's as if God Himself is transferring His titles to His Son. Look, if you would, at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Scripture says, you're familiar with this because we read this quite often during Christmas time. It says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. His name is called Mighty God. And who is this talking about? Talking about Jesus. And his name is called Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isn't that amazing? That God the Father transfers His titles to Jesus Himself. And Scripture teaches us, and well, Hebrews, in this passage of Scripture, that Jesus Himself is the authority. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus said, all power, say all power.
All power.
Say it again.
All power.
All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. So Jesus is now the authority in heaven. This is where God the Father resides. This is where the angels reside. And this is where your loved ones who've known Christ and have passed on, that's where they reside. Jesus is now the authority in heaven. And He is preparing to become the authority on earth. He's not here yet, but there will come a time when Jesus Himself will be the King of all the earth. Jesus will rule heaven and earth in righteousness and justice. That's going to be a glorious day. Whoo, that's going to be a glorious day. If we look at our world around us, there are some things I wish we could change. Because not everything is done in righteousness right now. Do you understand that? And not everything is done in justice right now. And when He comes, He's going to rule forever and ever and ever. In Isaiah 9:7, Scripture says, "Of the increase of the government and of peace, there will be no end." The increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Man, when I think of Jesus ruling in righteousness and justice, I just get excited. I really get excited. Because right now, we are not living in a time when there is righteousness and justice. There is evil all over the world. There's abortion. There's homosexuality. There's murders. There's thievery. There's abuse. There's courts making decisions that are anti-Christ in our land. And that's not even to speak about other lands. Won't it be nice to have a world ordered by Jesus Himself? I can't wait for that day. As a matter of fact, you know, as you read through the New Testament, many times there's a word called Maranatha. Do you know, are you familiar with that? And that word actually means, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come." So every time the church would meet, they would say, "Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come." And I'm ready for His coming today. So when Jesus comes to be the King of the earth, you won't get to vote on Him. Okay? There, I guess you could if you wanted to, but regardless, there's not going to be any ballot measures. There's not going to be a shutdown in the government. It's not going to be any of it. There's not going to be any terrorists. There's not going to be any riots in the street. Amen. Isn't that amazing? So when Jesus comes, Scripture says there's going to be a peace over all the earth. Woo-hoo! I can't wait. That's shouting grounds, man. I can't wait. When Jesus comes, there's going to be peace. And we're going to get to a passage of Scripture regarding that in a moment. You know, the government is not going to be a communist government. I don't know, how long has it been? 5-6 weeks ago, we had a pastor here from Cuba. Well, I had the opportunity to take him to lunch. I began asking him questions regarding Cuba. And he told me, he said, if a person owns chickens and the chickens lay eggs, they can't eat their own eggs because it all belongs to the government. They can't kill their own chickens because the chickens belong to the government. So Larry, if you were living in a communist country, you couldn't eat your own eggs. So the government would take them and then give you a penance. And you would have to live on what the government gives you for your eggs. If you have a cow, you can't drink your own milk. You can't kill your own cow. I have a pastor friend who's from Romania. And he said, although communism ended like 30 years ago, even to this day, if a person kills their own cow, they are killed. The government kills them because they've killed a cow. Wow. I would be dead for killing that elk the other day. I didn't realize how horrible those individuals have it. But he also said, and maybe he shared this here as well, And we were trying to, we raised some money for him. We gave him $1,100. The newest vehicle in Cuba is a 1950 model. And those vehicles, if you get a good buy on one, they're between $40,000 and $50,000. They won't allow any newer cars to be transported or come into the country. I'm glad I live in America. I'm glad I live in the United States. We have a lot of freedoms. We have a lot of things we take for granted, for sure. We need to be, you know, I think of those things, and there's a lot of things we take for granted. We don't even give the Lord praise for or thanks for, because it's just like a normal everyday, you know, I get to sell my eggs, I get to sell my milk, I get to buy it at the store, I get to work, and I get a, you know, comfortable wage for doing so. And it's a struggle for most people in the world who live outside the United States. The pastor's wife was a doctor, a physician, and she said that she quit her being a physician and working full-time with her husband now, who is doing, you know, pastoring the church. But she said that physicians oftentimes quit their practice so that they can wait tables because they get more money on tips than they would working as a physician. That's not the kind of government that Jesus is going to set up when he comes. I probably am thinking Pastor Joe in Cuba is thinking even more about Jesus coming back to earth, setting up an earthly reign, than perhaps we are, because of what that means. So a theocracy is a government that's ruled by God. Did you know in the early history of Israel, God wanted to be their ruler. God wanted to be their king. And Israel said, we don't want God as our king. We want a king like the other nations around us. And God said, you want it? You got it. And so it really did not bode well for Israel when they began to put kings in place. Now, there were some good kings, but there also were some sorry kings. And because of the decisions that these kings made, they went further and further and further and further and further away from God. And it's the same in our country. We have to be careful, otherwise we begin to go further and further and further and further away from our God. Jesus is going to come one day, and he's going to set up an earthly reign. And let's look at what it's going to be like when Jesus rules. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, it says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. So Jesus was a descendant of David. And this is who it's talking about. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord, and he will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor, make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat, The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. So you like snakes? You do? I don't like snakes. But in those days, a child is going to play near the hole of a snake that's poisonous or had been poisonous, and no longer is it going to be dangerous. Yes, a little child will put his hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Nothing's going to hurt or destroy in all his holy mountain, so there's no need for a hospital. There's no need for a funeral home. For the waters will fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with the people who know the Lord. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. In verse 4, it says that there will be justice when Jesus comes. He will be fair. He will judge the wicked and destroy them. Verse 4. Verses 6 through 8, peace is going to reign on earth, even among the animals. Even among the animals. And then in verse 10, all nations will come to worship Him. All nations will come to worship Jesus. I can't wait for that day. That's going to be a glorious day. John describes his setting up his earthly kingdom in this way. In Revelation chapter 19, it says, "Then I saw the heavens opened. Behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems," or crowns, "and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So when Jesus comes again, there was a time in history when there was this period called the period of the law. Now we're living under a period of grace, when grace is shed abroad upon all people, all mankind, all nations. And this is, we call it the church age. There will come a time when that church age will end and Jesus Christ will enter in his kingdom. And when he comes the next time, he's going to come as ruler. He's going to become a king. And he's going to rule all of the world, not just the United States, but he's going to rule Iraq. He's going to rule Turkey. He's going to rule Iran. He's going to rule Istanbul. He's going to rule Russia. He's going to rule every nation on earth. When he comes again, he will come to rule, and Scripture says that he will come with a rod of iron. And when he speaks, his enemies are destroyed. Just by the word of his mouth, his enemies are destroyed. In Revelation, it talks about Jesus coming with a sword in his mouth. Well, the sword is his word. Jesus doesn't have to do a lot of fighting. Okay? All he has to do is speak the word. because he's God. If he speaks the word and the earth, the heavens, the stars, the galaxies are come into being because of the spoken word, do you think by God that he can take care of some individuals just by a spoken word? He can do that. And so basically what he's going to be telling the nations is, choose me, choose Jesus, or choose death. Choose Jesus, choose death. Choose Jesus, or choose death. So here we are at the beginning of 2018. Jesus' return is imminent. He could come this year. So one of the questions I pose to myself and I pose to you is, am I ready? Are you ready? If Jesus were to come today, are you ready to meet him? Actually, that's on your communication card. If you turn it on the back, that's one of the questions that's on there. If Jesus were to come today, I am ready to meet him. The same choice that Jesus is going to give the nations when he comes again is the choice he gives us today. Choose Jesus or choose death. Choose Jesus or choose death. There are some people who choose not to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. There are some people who want to run their own life. They want to do their own thing. They want to make their own choices. And yet, Scripture says that if you don't have Jesus, you're dead already. You're already dead. And what Jesus wants to do is come and bring life. What Jesus is going to do on the earth when he returns regarding peace throughout the earth, that's what he wants to do in our own personal heart, is bring peace in our heart. You don't have to raise your hand, but for some people, there are maybe even some here this morning, there's a battle going on inside you. There's a war that's going on inside you. And you are struggling with whether or not you're going to give your life to Jesus, whether or not you're going to surrender to him, or whether you're going to continue on the path that you've chosen. And Jesus is saying, you can choose me and you can choose life. You can choose me and you can choose peace. You can choose me and you can choose heaven. Or you can reject me and you choose death. Jesus wants to be your king. He wants to rule you, but when you surrender to him, that may sound like scary to you, that Jesus wants to rule you, but he wants to lead you in green pastures. He wants to lead you beside still waters. He wants to bring comfort to your soul. He wants to bring peace to your soul. If somebody wanted to do that for you, do you think it'd be okay if he ruled you? If that was his plan, if that was his desire for you, if that was his heart for you, we sang a lot of songs this morning about love. But we have to open our heart to him. He's not going to force himself on us. We have to be willing to open our heart to him. So you can continue struggling. You can continue fighting. You can continue warring. You can continue to go down the path that you've chosen for yourself, or you can surrender to Him. Remember a man named Jacob? The Old Testament. Oh, you remember Jacob? In the Old Testament, there was a fellow named Jacob, and the Scripture says he wrestled with God. You remember that? He was fighting with God. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And the angel touched him on the thigh and put his hip out of joint. He said, let me go. Jacob said, not till you bless me. This is what the angel of the Lord said to Jacob. Because you have wrestled with God and with man and have prevailed, you've been victorious, I will bless you. So how in the world, and that puzzled me for a while, how do you wrestle with God and win? How do you wrestle with God and become victorious? That's the only way, is to surrender. That's the only way. Jacob surrendered that day. God gave him a new name. He was no longer known as Jacob, he was known as Israel. He wrestled with God and became victorious. And the only way he was able to become victorious is to surrender his will to the will of God. Some of you this morning may be wrestling with God. And you're wanting God to bless you. You're wanting God to bless you. And you're praying God, or thinking, God, I really want to be blessed in this way. And if you look back in your life, God has blessed you. And He shows, He's poured out His blessings upon you. He's shared His love with you. And He's continuing to do so. You just look back and see how He's blessed you. And you're wanting to be blessed now. And God says, you haven't even experienced the blessings I have for you until you surrender your life to me. You can continue to wrestle, or you can surrender. If you continue to wrestle and you don't surrender, Jesus said you've chosen death. And some of you are dead men and women walking even now. God has a better plan for your life. And the Lord is calling you. He's asking you, surrender to me so that I can give you what you've been looking for all your life. Father, I come before you today. And I'm just excited about the time when Jesus will come back to earth to rule in righteousness, to rule in justice, to rule in peace. Lord, I can't wait for that day. But Lord, I'm experiencing some of that even now because of what you are doing in my heart. I get to enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. I get to walk in righteousness because of Jesus' blood that was shed for me and cleansing me from all sin. I get to experience you in a way that I never was able to before I came to know you. So this morning I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they would surrender to you. They would yield their lives to you. It can be a scary thing. But Lord, it's a whole lot better than, for me, than it was before I knew you. Lord, today, I pray that every heart here would be yielded to you, would be surrendered to you. Lord, there may be some Christians here today who are struggling in some areas in their life, and You're asking them to surrender that to you. So Lord, we come before you. Our life is in you. Our life is in your hands. We give you praise. We give you glory. I pray that you would have your will and way in each of us this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Stand together.